In the name of the one true living God, our Creator, Provider, and Savior. Brothers and sisters, the Gospel of Matthew was specifically written to Jewish readers. It begins by identifying Jesus as Christ and points to his human identity and genealogy all the way back to David and Abraham. Indeed, the Old Testament spoke of the promised Messiah, or Christ, as coming through the physical line, the offspring of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. Jews who eagerly awaited the promised Messiah king understood that he would be the physical heir of King David, who descended from the tribe of Judah, the son of Jacob. Matthew carefully went through three sets of 14 generations from Abraham all the way to Joseph and Mary to point out that Jesus indeed is from that line. In this way, he established clearly that Jesus indeed is physically qualified to be the anointed one, the promised Messiah Christ. After Jesus began his public ministry, he chose and appointed his 12 apostles. Approximately halfway through the book of Matthew, in the 16th chapter, they had spent most of 3 years accompanying him. They had observed his life, heard his teaching, and were firsthand witnesses to his miraculous power. They had been gradually prepared to recognize his divine identity. It is here, in his own timing, that Jesus tests their understanding of his true identity. He asked them, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Interestingly, the response reported the popular public opinions. He was basically identified as one of the greatest prophets. And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus went on to probe them about their own opinion. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" It is here that Peter, Jesus' senior apostle, makes a remarkable assertion about Jesus' divine identity. Peter answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus points out that divine revelation is behind Peter's statement. Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Let us first notice that Jesus announced that Peter was blessed to be making such a declaration. Yes, it is a blessing that comes from heaven to believe in Jesus, the divine Messiah. It's not by human reason, ability, or will that a person comes to true knowledge and faith in Christ. The Apostle John asserts this truth. The 4th chapter of his first epistle says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." In the first chapter of John's Gospel, we also learn that to all who, like Peter, received Jesus and believed in his name, Christ gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Prior to Peter's remarkable statement given by divine revelation, neither he nor the rest of the 12 recognized Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Brothers and sisters, this is not all. Jesus went on to say, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The message is clear. What Peter confessed represented the very foundation of Christ's church. And it is so powerful that it actually shakes the very gates of hell. What does this mean? In the scriptures, hell is identified with Satan and unbelief. The promised Messiah was identified in the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. First as the seed or offspring of the woman who would defeat Satan, and second as the one coming through Abraham's line to bring blessing to all nations. Nations are also described as being under Satan's sway and siege. The prophets spoke of the Messiah who would provide liberty and salvation. From the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus applied that prophecy to himself. The fourth chapter of the book of Luke tells us that he read these words from the prophecy of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Brothers and sisters, Satan recognized this and tried to entice Jesus to fail in his saving mission, promising him the kingdoms and glory of the world. Yet Jesus defeated him and foiled all his efforts to tempt him to do wrong. After this, Jesus was ready to go on the offensive by the proclamation of the gospel, beginning with the apostles. Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, represented the core of the message of the gospel. Some of the great prophets who spoke of his coming lived godly lives and enjoyed wisdom. Others even exercised miraculous power. This did not qualify them to be the promised Messiah, and it was not enough to recognize that Jesus descended from Abraham and David. The gospel asserts that Jesus' sinless life, his defeat of Satan, and miraculous powers were confirmed by his victory over death. That is how he decisively proved to be the one only Messiah. The Apostle Paul emphasized this in the first chapter of his epistle to the Romans, saying, "Jesus was declared Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead." Jesus himself, after his resurrection and before his ascension, declared that he enjoys all power in heaven and earth. He went on to commission the church through the apostles to take the gospel to the nations, attacking the gates of hell to liberate those who are held in slavery by Satan in the darkness of sin and misery. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is indeed the power of God unto salvation. This is the message that builds his true church among all peoples. Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations at all times throughout the whole earth by the blessed message of the gospel. Amen.